great seed of your word would find good soil in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. That seed would find good soil and germinate to produce great fruit in us, through us, and for us. That ultimately we would live for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of us at one time or another have stood in front of a door that needed to be unlocked and opened. Whether it was a door to a house or a room, a door to a building, or a figurative door to an opportunity, everyone who is in front of a door looks for the key to open that door. But I submit to you today, my brothers and sisters, that the greatest doors in life that need to be opened are not the doors to a house, not the doors to a building, not the doors to a business or to a school, or the doors of opportunity. The greatest doors in our lives that we need to learn how to open is the door to a person's heart. And the challenge is, how do you find the key to open the heart of a person when it comes to helping that person let God into their life? Hearts don't usually open because of arguments. Hearts don't usually open when you berate them, even if you're berating them with the Bible. Many times hearts open not because of pressure put on a person, but because of the care and love that's been shown to a person. Think about your own life for a minute. What opened up your heart to receive important information and guidance and direction from a person? Whether it was a coach or a teacher, a neighbor or a family member, that person in all likelihood showed you some love, showed you some concern, that let you know that there was something that they felt about you, and they weren't telling you something to benefit them, they were telling you something to benefit you. Long before you listened to what they said, you were impacted by what they did and how they made you feel. And that's because love through service and giving has a way of opening hearts. This is one of the reasons Jesus spent so much time in the scriptures healing, feeding, touching, helping, and serving people. His focus was not to solve the temporary problems of people, but Jesus did what he did to touch their heart. He wanted to reveal to them that the descriptions of God as mean and hateful and judgmental were an unfair characterization of who his father was. He wanted them to know that God had love for them, and that the love that they had experienced in life was a love that could open their heart to receive God's love in totality. It's in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John demonstrate this same ministry philosophy. As we continue our Season to Serve campaign, I want to talk today and conclude the message I started on last week entitled How to Meet Needs and Open Hearts. How to Meet Needs and Open Hearts. If you have your outline, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world, you can download our app and you can find the outline there, or you can go to goodhope.org and find that outline there. Amen. Amen. Let's make sure. Make sure Deke's all right. take him to my office. Take him that way. Take him that way. Take him. Huh? Okay, but I'm saying take him out that way so he can go right outside. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Deacon Robinson, and we pray now for he and Sister Robinson. We ask your healing virtue to touch him right now. Move by your spirit, God. Stabilize him. Put your hands of protection on him. Watch over him, God. Touch him as only you can. Do beyond what we can ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's in Acts chapter 3 that we find ourselves today. Acts chapter 3 takes place right after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Church is growing rapidly after being given birth to. Thousands have come to faith in Christ, and hundreds are coming on a daily basis. But here's the mission of the church just beginning. Peter and John, the text says, are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, approximately 3 p.m. Outside one of the temple gates called Beautiful, there's a man who has been placed there who is asking for alms. He's asking for offerings. He's asking folk if they have any change to spare. For 40 years, we find out later, this man had been depending on the charity of others. And because of his disability, he lived on the margins. He was near worship, but unable to walk. He was near God's people, but was trapped in his condition. He was near the temple, but unable to change himself. Every day, people walked past him. Some noticed him. Few helped him. But it's on this day that Peter and John demonstrate a powerful truth of how meeting needs can open hearts. Last week, I shared with you part one of this two-part message. Let me run through this real quick for you just as a form of review. I shared with you last week, number one, you must notice the needs of others. You must notice the needs of others. The text says, verse 4, Acts chapter 3, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. He's at the gate asking for alms. It's almost like he has been there so much and so long that he has become part of the decor, part of the furnishings of the area. And the text says he asked Peter and John, and they, look at the text, verse 4, directed his gaze at them. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Watch this. Peter and John had to look at him in order to tell him, look at us. And one of the things that I want you to get is that you have to not only go by people, but you need to see people and see their needs. Many of us see people, but we don't see them for real. We don't see them. We don't see within them. We don't see beyond the surface. You ask somebody, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm doing all right. Well, if you see them, you will know if that I'm doing all right is really all right. I have some people that I know when I talk to them and they'll say, oh, I'm all right. I said, boy, you lie like a cheap rug. And they'll start laughing and say, man, what you mean? Because I can tell that something's wrong. What's going on? What's happening? And the truth of the matter is some of us don't care enough to even get by the superficial pleasantries of how you doing. We really don't want to know how somebody's doing. And we don't think people really want to know how we're doing. That's why some of you come in here week after week, suffering in silence, learning how to smile through your pain, waiting and hoping that somebody will say, no, for real, how you really doing? How can I pray for you? What can I do to encourage you? That's why in Matthew chapter 9, powerful statement when Jesus, the text says, saw the crowds, verse 36, he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them. He saw them and he had compassion, because seeing somebody for real beneath the surface ought to evoke some kind of emotional response. Second thing I shared with you last week, you must offer what you have to those in need. You must offer what you have to those in need. Verse 6, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Many times we spend too much time focusing on what we don't have, what we can't do, what we have decided we won't do, that we don't focus on what we can do. Shame on us if you sit there and say, I'm not going to give them any money because they might go and drink it up or spend it on some drugs, but you won't give them Jesus. Peter teaches us you got to learn how to give what you do have. And hopefully you got enough Jesus to share with somebody. Shame on us if the best Christian you get out of us is 2 hours on Sunday and you got another 160 plus hours in the week to be a Christian. What a tragedy, what a shame. If you added up all of the Christian you are all week long, you couldn't get more than the 2 hours you give on Sunday. God says we got to learn how to give who we are. Man, I think about that little boy Roman, just a hug, but it started with just a hello. Just a hello. Like, can you just be nice? Just speak to people. Wait a minute, watch this. Even if you don't speak, just smile. Man, some of y'all haven't smiled in so long. Man, your face wouldn't know how to act. Just, and it takes more muscle in your face to frown than it does to smile. Some of y'all would help yourself if you just looked in the mirror and smiled at yourself. You'd be like, look at you, smiling and everything. Here's the third thing I shared with you last week. You must point people to Jesus. You must point people to Jesus. Text says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter said, what I don't have, I can't give you, but I can give you what I do have. Let me point you to God. And my brothers and my sisters, one of the things we have to learn how to do is, if we believe Jesus is the answer for the world today, we've got to learn how to point people to him. Now, they may not want to go to him. They may not want to go with him, but we have an obligation to point people to him. And we ought to be able to say to them, let me tell you what God has done in my life. So now you have a testimony of what God can do for you because of what God has done for me. That's why in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That when they see what God is doing in your life, they are more apt to receive from God what they need in their life. I want you to think about this for a moment. How did the early church get traction? Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people come to faith. By the time we get to Acts chapter 6, scholars believe we had between somewhere 10,000 and 15,000 people who were following Jesus. How did we make that kind of growth? Here's what I know. It wasn't the preaching. It wasn't the teaching. It was the people. People saw a change and they said, I want what you have. Let's go to part two. I've got two things I want you to see today. And then I'm going to take my seat. Number one, you need to let people know God can do more for them than anyone else. You got to let people know God can do for them more for them than anyone else. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him, verse 7, by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Watch this. The man says, I want alms. Peter says, getting money is not your real need. I'm going to address you not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Because if you're not fixed, if you're not anchored, if you're not secured on the inside, it doesn't matter what I give you on the outside. If you go to any physical trainer or anybody around health and wellness and fitness, yoga instructor, whoever it is, they will all tell you how important core strength is. Core strength, how strong you are on the inside, your stomach, your back. It doesn't matter how good looking your arms are and your legs are if your core is messed up. Peter says, I'm going to help you with your core. He did, watch this, he initiates meeting the real need. He does for the man what he could not do for himself. But don't miss this. Peter does his part, and it's on the other side of Peter doing his part that God could do his part. Peter's not trying to be everything. He's just being something so that God can do anything. So here is Peter letting this anonymous man know his hope needs to be in Jesus. So watch what happens. He lifts him up. Peter, text says he lifts him. He pulls him up. Now, that's significant, but you've got to understand that every day when that man came to that gate, somebody put him down. Ooh, Lord have mercy. There were folk who carried him and set him at the gate every day. So there were people that put him down, but Peter recognizes that he needs to be lifted up. Lord have mercy. Who have you lifted up lately? Who have you helped to lift up? I know the world puts him down. But have you added any value to their life, anything positive to their life with your words, with your actions, with your deeds to help lift them up? Watch this. Peter lifts him, but God strengthens him. Peter lifts the man with his strength, but God strengthens him. It's right there in the text. Don't miss it. The text says, he took him by the right hand. I'm at verse 7. Look at it so you don't think I'm making it up. And raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Who made him his ankles and feet strong? It was God. Peter lifted, but God strengthened. I need somebody in here to make a commitment that you're going to do more lifting so God can do more strengthening. Text says the man was healed by the grace of God, and the evidence of his healing was he had a new walk. He started walking and leaping, and the text says praising God. And then, watch this, everyone noticed. The need was met, and everybody noticed. The man noticed. The folk who walk by him notice. The folk who have seen him notice. Somebody said, isn't that fella that been sitting at the gate all this time? Wait a minute. What happened to him? Because what began as a simple act of service became a testimony to everyone of God's power. Peter could not heal him, but Peter could help him. Jesus could heal him, But healing showed up on the other side of the man getting help from Peter. Peter could serve, but only God could transform. Listen to me. You are responsible for your obedience, and then God is responsible for transforming by his power. Let me just throw this in as a side note. Lord have mercy. Some of y'all don't do what God has called you to do because you don't believe God can do what only he can do. I would, Pastor, but he ain't gonna change. Changing him is above your pay grade. I'm trying to help somebody in here. Helping her become all that God wants her to be is above your pay grade. Get out of God's way. Somebody said, wait a minute, why I got to get out of God's way? Because if you don't get out of God's way, you're going to try to take God's glory by taking credit for what only God can do. A farmer plants seeds, he cannot make them grow. Only God can do that. But God often chooses not to grow what is never planted. So if you never plant, don't get mad at what God doesn't grow. Serve faithfully, love generously, witness boldly, and trust God with the outcome, because you never know what God may do through you when you do one act of obedience. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must intentionally let those you bring to Jesus stay close to you. You must intentionally let those you bring to Jesus stay close to you. Verse 11, Acts chapter 3. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. Most sermons that you've heard on this passage stop at verse 10. Verse 10 is an exit ramp. Verse 10 is a point to shout on. Peter grabbed him by the hand, lifted him up. His feet and his ankles were strengthened. And then he came in, walking and leaping and praising. Ooh, that's a shouting point. But here's what we miss. What happened after the shout? What did God do? Listen, it's like years ago, y'all remember Bishop Jakes had a series of conferences, and one of them was, Woman, Thou Art Loosed. And then somebody asked the question after about the third, fourth conference, now that you're loose, what you gonna do? Right? What you gonna do now that you're loose? We shouted at this man's healing, but what happens afterward? Watch what it says. The phrase, the people were all astounded. The need was met. Not only was the man's heart opened, the people who were watching, their hearts were opened. But what did the man do? The text says he clung to Peter and John. Circle that word. He clung to Peter and John. It means, that word means to seize firmly, to hold tightly, to remain attached to take hold of and not let go. Look at the New Living Translation, if you will, underneath. Text says they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. The man gave evidence of what God had done by publicly identifying himself with the apostles. This was not a casual association. This is an intentional attachment. Now that he could stand, the man says, let me answer the question of who I stand with. He shows them that he can stand. Now he says, here's where I'm standing. I'm standing with Jesus and the people of God. And what an outstanding addition to this passage. Because here's what it does. It moves us beyond service and it moves us beyond shouting to what it means to really disciple somebody. It's an intentional relationship, y'all. This is not accidental. This is intentional. God used Peter to help change this man's life. And when this man experiences that life change, he recognizes that that life change has to result in a change in his life. And that change in his life doesn't happen in a moment only. It's got to be continued in the context of relationship. And so notice what Luke does not say. Luke doesn't say the man went home and disappeared. Luke doesn't say the man got healed and moved on. Luke doesn't say the man experienced a miracle and detached himself. His miracle resulted in transformation. His transformation resulted in attachment, and his attachment led to an intentional discipling relationship. See, here's what we need to understand. The goal was not simply for the man to walk. The goal was not simply for the man to be healed. The goal was not simply for the man to meet Jesus. The ultimate goal was the transformation of this man's life that would be facilitated by him staying connected to the people God used to bring him to Jesus. Who better to teach him to walk with Jesus than the person who brought him to Jesus? Peter and John didn't just do ministry, they entered into a relationship. This man had been physically dependent on other people for 40 years. Now he needed somebody to be dependent upon to help him grow spiritually. Every day somebody brought him to the temple physically. Will somebody now from the temple walk with him spiritually? The miracle changed his feet, but discipleship would change his faith. Healing solved one problem. Following Jesus would transform everything. That's why the Great Commission is not go make converts. You have churches who only count baptisms. They count how many people were baptized. They don't count how many people were actually discipled, how many people were poured into, because they see a new birth as the ultimate goal of glory. And the ultimate goal of glory is not just to see somebody come to faith, but to help them grow in their faith so they can help somebody else come to know Jesus for themselves. So I want to encourage you today, don't just help people find Jesus. Help them follow Jesus. Don't just lead them to faith. Help them grow in their faith. Don't just introduce them to Christ. Help them walk with and become more like Christ. Don't just celebrate the conversion. Cultivate the transformation. So I want you to leave here today asking yourself, who am I helping to grow as a Christian? You don't have to go far. Some of you, just start with your children. Start with your grandchildren. Start with some of your nieces and your nephews. Start with them. You start with a weekly call where you just share a passage of scripture and ask them what they think about it. Tell them all Sunday night we're gonna do a call with Papa and Nene. We're gonna start a call and we're gonna start pouring into them intentionally. See, it's not who did I invite to church. It's not who prayed a prayer. It's who am I intentionally walking beside, and who am I intentionally let walk beside me? Now, let me tell you something about discipleship. It requires proximity. It requires time. It requires conversations. It requires encouragement. It requires accountability. It requires a relationship. Paul said, you got to share more than a message. You got to share your life. Discipleship is relational multiplication. And you got to learn how to be with the Lord. Let's go back to where the story began. The man was looking for money, but God gave him a miracle. He was expecting a few coins, but he left with a completely new life. He thought his greatest need was what Peter had in his hand. He didn't know that the greatest need was what Jesus would do in his heart. And church, that's our assignment as well. We live in a world full of people asking for one thing who desperately needs something much greater. Some are asking for acceptance, but they really need salvation. Some are seeking success, but they really need sovereignly given significance. Some are asking for relief, but they really need redemption. Some are asking for temporary help, but they need an eternal Savior. And God has placed you in their path. God has strategically placed you in their life, not because you have all the answers, but because you know the one who does. So let people know God can do more than you. See, the pressure is not on you to change somebody's life. The act of changing their life is not part of your job description. That's God's work. Point the way, pray, and let God have his way. And don't underestimate a simple act of service. A meal can become a miracle. A conversation can become a conversion. A prayer can become a breakthrough. An invitation can become a new beginning, because God can always do more than we can. So I want to end by telling you this. We're excited by decisions, but we don't want to celebrate decisions and neglect making disciples. See, Jesus never commanded us to make converts. He commanded us to make disciples. And that comes when we walk together and live together and learn together and serve together and pray together and grow together. So stay close enough to help somebody follow Jesus. Let them follow you as you follow Christ, because God can do more than you. So trust God with the results. Do your part and let God do his part. And when God meets needs, hearts are open. I want you to think about this. The hearts of the disciples were open so they could be used by God. The man who was healed, his heart was touched and opened. The people who saw the results of his healing, of him walking and dancing and praising, their hearts were open. Because when God opens hearts, he opens the hearts of those who are serving. He opens the hearts of those who are being served. And he opens the hearts of people who are watching service take place. In the name of Jesus. Have you ever been somewhere and somebody said, oh, I saw you, and you didn't see them? They said, oh, yeah, I saw you. You didn't see me? Uh-uh. I figured that must have, because I waved at you. You didn't even wave back. They saw you. Here's what I want you to know. People watch you, even if they don't know you. They see, and when you do, you give God the opportunity to open their hearts. Yeah, yeah. So ask the Lord to make you a blessing. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, make me a blessing out of my life. Let your light shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Give to somebody else what was given to you in your need. And tell somebody the sweet story of Jesus. How Christ loves and how he lives. And tell somebody of his power to forgive. And trust God to open hearts when you meet needs. Father, we thank you today for your word. Help somebody today to leave committed to show and to tell somebody that they're saved by his power divine, that they're saved to new life sublime. Help somebody to leave here, God, committed to say, my life now is sweet and my joy is complete because I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved. And give them the courage to know that it's no secret what God can do. Father, thank you for meeting our greatest need through Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to see people the way you see them. Give us hearts of compassion, hands ready to serve, and courage to point others to Jesus. Use our acts of kindness to open doors for the gospel and help us to be faithful servants who trust you for the results. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise if you will. Stand on your feet wherever you are. Stand on your feet wherever you are. Today, maybe you're not identifying with Peter and John. You're identifying with this lame man. You've been carrying a burden, somebody who's watching, that you cannot fix. You've been dealing with a struggle that you can't overcome. It's a need deeper than money, deeper than success, and deeper than achievement can satisfy. The greatest need in every life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. And he offers you today forgiveness, hope, and a new life. Now, if you already know Christ, maybe God is calling you not to receive his grace, but to release his grace and serving others. But if you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. Somebody who's watching, there's a QR code on the screen. It can be used in the sanctuary as well. That if you're watching, you can use that QR code and say, I need God in my life. There's an appropriate box for you to check. I want to know how to accept Jesus in my heart. I want to become part of this church family. If you indicate using that QR code, that quick link, it'll direct you as to what your next steps are so that you can become part of the family of God and maybe become a part of this church family. But if you're here today, I want to extend the invitation for you to come. Say yes to God today. Sometimes you can look whole on the outside and be broken on the inside. And you know what I found out? When you really broke, I mean for real broken, you don't care who knows it around you. Right? You know, some folk be like, well, I don't want nobody to know. No, you ain't in real bad shape then. Because when you're in real bad shape, you don't care who knows. You be like, whatever. I need to get it right with God. I need to give my life to the Lord. And so if you're here right now as we sing, you're watching wherever you are. I'm just sensing somebody's watching right now. We'll give you an opportunity to say yes. And if you're here in the sanctuary, come on and say yes to God. All right. We're going to sing it today. And when we sing this song, and it's a real simple song, just says, I'm available to you, right? Come on, let's sing.
Lord, I'm available to you.
To you. My will.
My will I give to you.
I'll do what you say.
I'll do what you say. Do. Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord. To what?
To show someone
the way. And enable me to say. My storage is empty.
My storage is empty.
And I am.
And I am available to you.
Come on, let's sing it one more time. And if you're here, come on and say yes to God. Lord, I'm available.
Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say to use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say my storage is empty and I am.
Anybody can say, Lord, I'm really available. If you need somebody, use me. There are two people in the text that Pastor preached about today. Someone who needs Jesus and somebody who knows Jesus. Did you see that while he was preaching? That there was somebody who knows Jesus and there was somebody who needed Jesus. There was a little boy who was outside the store begging one day, asking people for 25 cents. And everybody ran past him every day, not necessarily giving him what he wanted. He asked one man and said, sir, do you have 25 cents to spare? The man reached in his pocket, got a job application to his father's store, and handed it to him. He said, I didn't ask you for that. I asked you for 25 cents. He said, son, if I give you 25 cents, you'll be back here begging tomorrow. But if I give you an application, you'll never have to beg again. And somebody needs to recognize that that's what happened in that text. The man asked for one thing, and he got another. Maybe you came today to church asking for peace. And God says, I'm going to give you a brand new heart. Maybe you're coming for some other thing that you need God to do. And God says, I'm going to give you. And then when you walk with God long enough and you start saying, I got more than what I expected. And that's what happened in this scripture. He got more than what he expected. He expected money, but he got a miracle of salvation, and he got a miracle and a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And today can be your miracle. You may have come to church for one thing, 25 cents in one cent, but God says, I'm going to go ahead and write you a check for salvation. I'm going to write you a check for a brand new family. And you can take this to the bank. It's going to be good and it won't ever cancel. And so today is your day. We extend this invitation to you. Come on, Lord, we are available to you.
Lord, I'm available.
My will,
gotta
give that up.
To you.
I'll do
what you
say. Use
me, Lord, to show someone the way.
And enable me to say. What we're gonna say, church? My storage. We thank you for the word of God that you sent our way. You've helped us to know that we can ask for one thing and get another. Then you've helped us to know that we are the Peters of this text. We're the ones who're supposed to be helping people see not their felt need, but their real need. And that's you. Father, we're supposed to offer what we have. And Father, we're supposed to even let them know that you can do what nobody else can do in their life. So Father, thank you for the word, the seed of your word. It's germinating even now. It's producing a response even now. We're going to live better because of that word. We're going to serve better because of that word. And Father, help us to see the world through your lenses. See the opportunity and be the church. It's in Jesus' name we do pray and give thanks. Let every hardened believer say amen. Amen. Can we give God praise? Church, can we thank God for the greatest senior pastor anywhere? What a word, 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 what a word. And how grateful we are for the word. Amen. It's offering time. Come on, it's offering time. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We give as the Lord has so generously given unto us. As you know, there are six ways to give at the Good Hope Church. By way, they're all displayed on the screen. And if by chance you're giving in a physical currency by way of cash or check, our deacons are coming around at this time to receive those offerings as unto the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these gifts that have been received for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask that you bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Where are our first-time visitors?